We're looking at the Mishnah on Daf Mem Amud Beis. Hamafkid Chavis Eitzel Chavero Velo Yichtala Bailim Makom. In this case, the Mafkid did not request of the Shomer that the Shomer designate a certain corner of his house and place the pikadon in that corner, but rather put it wherever you like. So let's say, for example, he gave him a chavis of yayin, and lo yichto le bailim mokom, wherever you put it, that's fine. Because we're going to see in the Seif of our Mishnah a case of yichto le bailim mokom, where the mafkid said, give me a place, designate me a place. That place is mine. That corner is mine for the purpose of my pikud. So in the ratio, wherever you put it, anywhere in the house, that's fine. Now, vitiltala. The word vitiltala here, which means literally that the shomer moved the chavis from one place to another, indicates that he may have decided to move it for his own purposes. That's called litzarko. And what that means is that if the shomer decides to misappropriate this object, this pikadon, and use it for his own purposes, that's called sholeach yad b'pikadon. And the halach of sholeach yad b'pikadon, which we're going to discuss in Mirtz Hashem at great length, is a halacha that changes and transforms the status of the shomer vis-a-vis the pikadon to one of achiv onsim, so that a normal shomer is not chayev for situations that arise that are beyond his control, but once he's a sholech yad b'pikadon, he becomes chayev even for onsim. And this is the case that our Mishnah addresses. Vinishtabra means the chavis broke bionis as a result of some circumstance that was beyond his control. Is what's the din in such a case? So we have here the following conditions that describe the situation. Number one, it was lo yichtola b'ilam mokum. Number two is tiltola. Number three was nishtabra bi'ones. And now, number four, im mitoch yodo nishtabra. In other words, the shvira, the destruction of the object, took place simultaneous with his tiltal, with his moving it. At that moment when he was metaltal, it broke. Okay, so now we have the fourth condition here. So it was lo yichtola mokom, it was tiltala, it was nishtabra bionis, and then it was mitoch yodo. It was b'eis hatiltul. That's when it broke. And now we have the fifth condition, litzarko. He moved it because he wanted to use it. The intention of the shomer was to do something which he's not allowed to do. And even in the case of a shomer chinam, you would think, well, look, the shomer is doing the bailim an absolute favor gratis. He's not even charging him. The bailim is not paying him for it. So you might think, in that case, let the shomer have rights to use the object, but he doesn't. He's a shomer. He's not a shoel. And if he moves it with tzarko for the purpose of using the object for himself, he becomes a gazlan. And at that moment, chayef, he has to pay even for the fact that there was a shvira ba'onis. And he's a shomer chinam. The last thing in the world is that you would entertain in your mind that shomer chinam should be chayef onsim. But the teretz is that once he becomes a gazlan, because he moves the object from place to place for his own purpose, to be nana, to enjoy the object, then as a gazlan, He becomes chayef onsim. But that's again if he moved the object litzarko. But if it was litzarka, in other words, he was careful about watching the object, and he moves it from one place to the other because in place X, where it was originally, the object is vulnerable. It's subject to winds or something that might destroy the object, destroy the chavis, and he moved it in order to protect it. Is then he's potter l'milas shalem. He doesn't have to pay, because in this case he was fulfilling his chiv shmira. The tilta was absolutely necessary, and he wasn't poshe in any way. He was subject to a situation beyond his control and onus, and he's potter. Again, the Mishnah doesn't address the case where he, which was neither X nor Y, where he was neither Litzarko for his purposes nor Litzarka. Maybe there's some gray area in the middle. Okay. Now, what happens in a case where the Shvira, the onus that took place, the breaking of the Chavis, was not simultaneous with his Tiltel? But rather, he moved it litzarko, or litzarka, and then he placed it down. Okay, so now we have to introduce another terminology into our Mishnah, v'im mishehinicha. Now the word mishehinicha, which literally means to place it down, means he placed it down in a location which is in a sense replacing or putting back his shmira into place. He's locking his shmira into place. In other words, for the moment that he was metaltal it, then surely he's not considered a shomer, because he took it for to move it from its place for his purposes, but now he puts it down. So he's replacing the shmira. And the place where he put it is fine. It's no longer vulnerable, but nishmira. From that makom ha-mishtamir, it was broken. And then, bein litzarko potter. The Mishnah establishes that even though at one moment in time, through the act of tiltul, he became a gazlan, he was a shaleach yad b'bikon because it was litzarko, nevertheless, once he places it down, the hanocha removes the tiltul, it undermines the tiltul, it terminates the state of gazlan and shaleach yad b'pikadon, and it replaces the shmira as if nothing happened anymore. What happened was happened, and he'll do tshuva for moving it litzarko, but now he's placed it down, and the shmira is back to its original state. The shaleach yad b'pikadon state has been completely erased from the record, and he's back to being a Shomer Chinam, or whatever Shomer he is, but he's part of Fronsen. And that's even though he had moved it with Tzarko. And it would seem from this Gemara that there's a halacha called Hashava. We know that the Gazlan, when he steals something, he's Chayv and Hashava. Once he does the Hashava, and he fulfills his Chiv Hashava, he is exonerated. He's now henceforth Patur. And the hanocha here is equivalent to Hashava. And even though before the hanocha he was metaltal litzarko and he was a gazlan, nevertheless now, through this hanocha, the Hashava was completed, and he's potter. All that is the case of lo yichdola b'ilin makom. But yichdola b'ilin makom, and here we have something that's a little bit counterintuitive. The Gemara is going to discuss this, address this, because yichdol of makom would seem to present the shomer with even a more simple way of establishing through his hanocha a hashava, because if he places it back in its original location, which was singled out, which was designated by the mafkid and by the shomer, that's a real hashava. And yet, take a look at the Sefer of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Tiltala, Vinishbara, Bein Mitoch Yodo, Ubein Mishinicha, if it was Litzarko, Chayav Litzarko Potter. In other words, the Hanocha is not going to help him. It's not going to qualify as Hashava to be Mafkir, the status of gazlan of Shalech Yad Pikon, which was generated by Tiltul Litzarko. We saw that Tiltul Litzarko is an act of gzela, but yet we also saw in the Reisha that Hanacha would be mafkir, would terminate that gzela, it would constitute and qualify as Hashava, and now henceforth it goes back to the original state of Shmira. We would think Kolshkein in the Seifa, where it was Yithol Abayla Mokom, and he was Meniachit, after he was Metalta Litzarko, certainly Kolshkein, that should be a perfect Hashava. And what we're going to see is that Rabbi Yochanan, as we go through the Sugya Ritz Shem, is going to be so baffled by the Lechora contradiction here between the Reisha and the Seifa, that he's going to split the Reisha and the Seifa as if it were two Shitas, two Tanoim. Okay, let's start the Sugya, and we'll see who are these two Tanoim, and what are they fighting about. The Gemara says, Ha Mani, let's go back to the Reisha. The Reisha presents the thesis that the principle that when the Shomer puts it down, that's called Hanocha, in the case of Lo Yichdol Obailun, even though the Shomer had been Metaltel Litzarko and he was a Sholeach Yad V'Pikod, nevertheless the Hanocha removes that status and the Shomer is now a Shomer, he's no longer Chayev Ba'onz. He replaces and reinstates his original din, his original status as a Shomer, without any fee of Onz. And the Gemara points out something that we know, but we didn't speak about it, we didn't emphasize it, and that is that if Hanoch is Hashava, the Chiddush of the Mishnah in the Reisha is that the Hashava is Shalom Midas Bailin, which means that one could argue, this is going to be Rabbi Akiva's Shita, but we're not holding like Rabbi Akiva, that when a Gazlan returns the object and fulfills his Chiyuv of Hashava, he's got to notify the Nigzal, the Bailim, that he's fulfilling Hashava. Hashava is a relationship between the Gazlan and the Nigzal. Hamani, the Mishnah, is authored by Rabbi Shmuel, the Omar. Rabbi Shmuel has a leniency in terms of defining Hashava. Lo be'inun das Bailim. When somebody steals something, or in this case the Shomer steals the Pikadon, and he wants to return it and fulfill his Chiyuv Hashava, he doesn't have to notify the Bailim that, look, I stole it, I'm returning it. The Sanya we learned in a Braisa, and this Braisa begins with the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel, HaGonev Tlem in HaEder. If a person is a Shomer, and he was given as a shepherd a whole flock of lambs to watch, to supervise, and he decides that he wants to take one of those lambs for himself. Or another case, Visela min hakis. Well, let's say a person is given a pocketbook full of coins, and it's deposited. He's the custodian to supervise. He's the shomer. Now he decides that he wants to take one coin, one sela, out of this pocketbook. And then, what happens? Lemakom sheganav yachzir. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says, in order for him, this Shomer who became a Ganav, to reinstate himself as a Shomer and be Mafkia, his status as a Ganav is to be this object, what he has to do is nothing more than replacing the Tle into the Eder, putting the Tle, this lamb, back into the flock from which he had stolen it, or replacing the Sela into the pocketbook. And he doesn't have to send an email or pick up his cell phone to notify the Bailim. He becomes Potter without Hodah, without telling the Bailim. And he's no longer Chai phones him as a Ganav would be. That's Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva Omer, however, Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion, Tzarech Das Bailim, that it's not enough that the Ganav just simply replace the object to the location from whence he had stolen it. But not only that, Hashava without Yediyas HaBailim is not called Hashava. If he wants to be potter from Onsim, as Rashi explains here in Dibra Masel Tzarech, he's got to not only replace the object and do a physical hashava to its location, original location, but he also has to notify the Baal. And the Gemara in Bava Kamma also establishes that in a case of a shomer, the very moment he uses the object with Sarko for his personal purposes, his status as a shomer ends, terminates, and he becomes a ganav. And the Bailim don't want him to be a shomer at this point, and now if he wants to replace and reinstate his status as a shomer, he needs, according to Rabbi Akiva, Das Bailim. You know, at this point, the Das Bailim is not very happy with his function, his capacity as a shomer. He hasn't lived up to his responsibility. So the fact that the shomer decided that he again wants to be a shomer, that's not enough. He needs the okay, he needs the approval of the Bailim. And Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion, on the other hand, that even though he at some point became a ganav, he still has this residual state or status as a shomer. And the status as a ganav is a result of the fact that his das, the shomer's das, to take it for himself, makes him into a shomer, makes him into a ganav. But if it's his own das that made him into a ganav, then when he decides, I don't want to be a ganav anymore, I want to be a shomer, he doesn't need das bailim, he doesn't need the approval, he already had the original approval. So the sugya in Bava Kamma seems to indicate that the machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva is a fundamental one, and that is what happens to as a result in the wake of the decision of the shomer to become a ganav on this pikadon. Is the original state, the chalashem shomer, completely eradicated and undermined? It's null and void, or is it still there in potential, even though he's a ganav? And the nafkamina is going to be whether he needs das bailim to regain and reinstate his status as a shomer. If he retains his status as a shomer, that's how Rabbi Shmuel defines it. Just that through his das he became a ganav. Now through his das, by doing this act of hashav, he's mafkia the status of a ganav, and he goes back to being a shomer. I mean, exclusively a shomer. He always was a shomer. Oh, but now the Gemara is going to present an analysis of our Mishnah according to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel, if the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Shmuel, my iria lo yichdu afilu yichdu nami. Why did Rabbi Shmuel establish that hanocha is mafkia ganav, gneva, his status as a ganav, because hanocha is hashava, and he doesn't need das bailim in the case of the reish of lo yichdo bailim makom lechavis, right? Is afilu yichdo nami. The din should certainly be the same in the case where there was a location, a corner of his living room, which was designated for the chavis, and he does, the shomer does achzoras hachavis limkoma, he replaces the chavis in that place. Certainly we would think that's a hashav shalom midas bailim, which according to Rabbi Shmuel constitutes and qualifies as hashav, and he should be potter. And the Mishnah, according to the Gemara now, in order to understand the ratio, we're going to have to say lo mi boy ka'amar. Lo mi boy yichdu dimakomahu. El afil lo yichdu delav makomahu lo bi'ina das bailim. The chiddush of the ratio of the Mishnah, again, we haven't seen the sefer yet, is that it's upgraded, it's simple, without a question, that if his hanocha as a hashava was in a makom sheyichdo lo bailim, for sure that's a perfect hashava, and we don't need das bailim. The Mishnah wanted to be mechadish that even if there was no location that was designated and the object is not going back to its original location, nevertheless, it constitutes and qualifies as a hashava. That's fine, says the Gemara, if we look at the Reisha alone as a separate independent entity. But Ema Seifa, let's read the Seifa. In the Sefer it says Yichdula Bailam Makom Vitiltula Venishbara Bain Mitoch Yodo Bain Mishahi Nicha Litzarko Chayev Litzarko Potur. We see that in the case of Litzarko, when he moved the object and became a Gazlan, and now he replaces the object. And here it's a case of Yichdolo Mokom, where he replaced the object to its designated area, its designated location in the corner of the living room as a perfect Hashava. And yet he's Chayev. And the only reason he can be Chayev here is because Hashava alone, you know, the physical Hashava, is not sufficient to be Mafkia the Gneva. It's not Hashava. You need another condition to be fulfilled, and that is Das Bailim. Is Asan L'Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says you're going to have to assume that the Sefer is a separate entity unto itself, independent of the Reisha, contradicting the Reisha, Di Omar Be'ino Das Bailim. And that Rabbi Akiva is the author of the Sefer. And although the Hashava in a physical sense was certainly fulfilled, but the Das Bailim wasn't there. And Hashava Shalomi Das Bailim is not called Hashava. E Rabbi Akiva, if you're telling me the Sefer is authored by Rabbi Akiva, my iria afilu lo yichto nami, my iria yichto afilu lo yichto nami. Why did Rabbi Akiva present his thesis in the case of yichto? He should have told me the case of lo yichto, because even in the case of lo yichto, since there was no das bailim for this hashava, for this hanocha, he still remains a ganov, and his chayiv bones. So the Gemara answers, lo mi boy komer, adarava. Rabbi Akiva, as the author of the Sefer, wants to tell me a chiddush. Lo mi boy, it's simple, it's understood that lo yichto, that since there was no specific area that was designated, lav makoma hu, this place where he puts it, where the Hanukkah took place, where the Shomer puts it down, that's not the makom of the object, beheya yediyah ha makom, ela filu yichto nami, even in a case where the Shomer put it down in its makom amyuchad, which is certainly a perfect hashava, the makomahu, he's in effect bringing the object back into the reshus of the bailim, of the nigzal, because that area is, so to speak, designated, rented out on behalf of the Bailim, is nevertheless, it doesn't qualify as a Hashava, says Rabbi Akiva. And the Shomer continues to be Chayfa Onsim. Why? Be'ino Das Bailim. Because that second condition in the Hashava was not fulfilled. The first condition certainly was. Mamash Hashava. The Gazlan, in effect, takes the object that he stole and brings it, you know, carries it over his shoulder and brings it back into the reshus of the mafkid of the bailim. But nevertheless, the second condition was not fulfilled. There was no das bailim, and Rabbi Akiva says if there's no das bailim, that doesn't qualify as hashavah. He retains his status of a ganav, his chayfons. And that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. Even though, despite the fact that it was yichdol makom, nevertheless, he's not potter for onsim. He's not mafkia his status as a ganav because his hashava was shalom midas bailim. So the Gemara says this is all wonderful, except for one thing. Reisha Rabbi Akiva v'seifa. I'm sorry, Reisha Rabbi Shmuel v'seifa Rabbi Akiva. How could it be possible that this Mishnah, which doesn't mention any names at all, is split into two parts, the Reisha and the Sefer, the Reisha representing one Shita and the Sefer a totally different Shita? And the Gemara answers, this is absolutely so. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan pointed this out, and we mentioned this earlier, that the Mishnah is split. The Reisha is authored by one Shita and the Sefer reflects a different Shita. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Man de bitargem li chovis alib de chantana. If somebody could somehow reconcile the Reisha and the Sefer as a consistent, reflecting a consistent shita without any contradictions, and authored by one shita, I'll be so excited. I'll be so impressed with that analysis that Movilna Mani Basri Lebe Masuta. I will be his Mishamish. There's Allah being Mishamish Talmidei Chachamim, Mishamish your Rebbe. The Talmud vis-a-vis his Rebbe is like an Eved vis-a-vis his Adon. And I will see myself as a Talmud of a person who can interpret this Mishnah as being one consistent sheet and one Tana. And I'll carry his Kalim into the Beis HaMerchatz. And now the Gemara is going to quote three different Amoraim who are going to try to make an attempt at reconciling our Mishnah, the Reish and the Seif, according to one particular Shita. We'll see at the end of the presentation that Shita is none other than Rabbi Shmuel. And that Rabbi Shmuel agrees that in a certain extreme kind of case, you need Das Baile. That's Rabbi Shmuel did not have an absolute principle that we never ever require Das Baile. So what we're going to first have to do is read the three Shitas. And only, you know, with patience, and only at the end is the Gemara going to swing back to explain why, according to these three Shitas, the entire Mishnah, Reisha, and Seifa reflect the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel. So the first of these three Shitas is Rabbi Yaakov Bar Abba. The second we'll see is Rabbi Nosson Bar Abba. I'm not sure if these were two brothers. But both of them, for sure, were students of Rav, and they presented, each one respectively, their presentation, their understanding of the Mishnah to Rav, to their Rebbe, Rav. So Tirguma Rabbi Yaakov Bar Abba Kamei de Rav Shenitola Almanas Lagozla. Rabbi Yaakov presented to Rav the thesis that when it says in the Mishnah, Tiltala, the word Tiltala doesn't mean he moved it, but rather he took it. That's how he's interpreting it, as if it says Lakha. The word Lakha, when you take something away from someone, indicates Gzela. And therefore, if the word Tiltala means Natla, then clearly the intention of the Shomer was to steal it. And in such a case where the Shomer is not just a classical Shalech Yad Pipikodon, where on a temporary basis he wants to use it, he becomes a first-class Gazlan, we're going to see soon that in such a case he needs what's called a Hashava Gemura, a total Hashava, even according to Rabbi Shmuel. And it's not going to be enough just to put it down as a Hanacha, but we're going to require a Das Baile. And he's not off the hook as far as Onsim without Das Baile. But again, that's going to come up in a few minutes. Now we get to the second Tana. Tirguma means he interpreted the Nukimta of the Mishnah, Rabbi Nosson Bar Abba, again Kami Derav, Nitola Almanas Lishloch Bayad. That at the very moment that he moved it, again, we're not saying that he took it, but he moved it, and moving it means that even if he moved part of it, he did not have intention of stealing it, or at least not stealing all of it, maybe he wanted to take some of it. In such a case, he's chayev for onsim as a gazlan. Now, in the parash of Shomrim, it says, "Umeis o nishbar o nishba, shuas Hashem tia ben shneim im lo shalach yado b'meleches reyehu." And this is the source for the halacha of shaleach yad v'pikadon, and the Torah establishes that a shaleach yad v'pikadon is chayav even for onsim. That's what it says, "Umeis o nishbar o nishba," and he has the status of a gazlan when he's a shaleach yad v'pikadon. Now, one could argue that a Shalech Yad B'Pikadon, who's defined and recognized by the Torah as a Gazlan, he's equated with a Gazlan, is only when he takes some of the object and the object is no longer in its full state. Like, let's say, for example, you have a chavis of yayin, and he, the shomer, removes some of the yayin. Then he becomes a gazlan. And that's called chisaron. So the Gemara asks, b'maiko mifugli, what is the root or definition of the machlokas here between Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Nosson? Why did they interpret the Mishnah in two different ways? They were both trying to get to the same goal and establish that through this tiltul, the shomer became a gazlan. And the Gemara says, b'shlichus yad tzricha chisaron. The machlokas is whether or not shlichus yad, which converts the shomer into a gazlan, and he's chayv ba'onsim, does that require a condition of chisaron? Chisaron means that he takes away something from the object, from the pikadon. Man di'omer legozla, according to Rabbi Yaakov bar Abba, unless he had intention when he did the tiltul to take it for himself, he's not a gazlan. I, Lechore, he's a Shalech Yad Pikadon, he took it for and moved it for his own purposes. Kasava Shlichus Yad Tzricha Chisaron, that the precondition for a Shomer to be Chayv as a Shalech Yad is only when he takes away something from the Pikadon. That's called Chisaron. And in this case, where the Chavis remained absolutely full, he didn't remove any of the wine from the Chavis, then if there's no condition of chisaron, then there's no sholech yad pikadon. The Gemara soon will get into this whole issue here about whether or not you need chisaron. And the only way you can call him a gazlan is when he takes the entire chavis for the purpose of gzela. That's the ukimta here of Rabbi Yaakov bar Abba. Umanti over, but Rabbi Nosson bar Abba, he holds that this is a case of notla, where he took it almanas for the purpose of lishloch bayad, he wanted to use it for his purposes. The Gemara is going to give a hechetimtza later on. Kasavar, he's of the opinion that shlichus yad ain't a tzricha l'chisaron, that even if he takes nothing away from the bailim, he still becomes a sholech yad pikadon. His intention was to use it in some way that's not machzir, it doesn't take away from the object, and he becomes a sholech yad pikadon despite the fact that there was no chisaron in the chavos. And once he becomes a sholech yad v'pikadon, meaning he moved it in with the intention of taking something for himself, then that itself makes him a sholech yad who has the status of a gazan as far as a chiv onsin is concerned. The Gemara later on is going to give a hechetimtza where he was magbia. He lifted up the chavis and his intention was eventually to take part of it out. But so far he didn't take anything out. And yet, from deswegen, according to Rabbi Nosson bar Abba, the second opinion here, he is already a sholech yad pikadon without chisaron. And therefore he's going to be chayev for onsim. In other words, Rabbi Nosson is trying to avoid the ukimta of Ratzel Gozla. I mean, the Mishnah doesn't indicate that he was intending to steal the chavis. So let's try to avoid that. You know, Sholech Yad Pikadon is a lowercase kind of a gaslet. So we'd rather, you know, limit the rishus here, the evil intention of the shomer as much as we can. Maskif Lo Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes is going to object to both Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Nosson bar Abba with the same objection. Midi netola k'toni. Netola would mean lakicha, that he took it for himself. Tiltola k'toni. But rather we're talking about a case where he's not taking it for himself, or he's not moving it as Rabbi Nosson would have it, for the sake of eventually taking part of it for himself. But tiltola k'toni means that he's moving it from one place to the other. And he wants to use it, but he's not a gazlan. He has no intention of taking it for himself, not even part of it for himself. Elo Omer Rav Sheshes Hachamai Askinon. What's the case of our Mishnah? Kigon Shetiltala Lahavi Aleha Gozlos. Meaning, let's say he wants to obtain certain birds that are higher up, you know, on the top of his roof, and he needs a ladder. He doesn't have a ladder. He's going to use this chavis to stand on the chavis and give him extra height. And certainly the Bailam are not interested that he move the chavis from place to place in order to stand on the chavis and put his full weight onto the chavis. And therefore he becomes a Shalech Yad B'Pikadon. But not exactly Shalech Yad B'Pikadon, because keep in mind, Shalech Yad B'Pikadon means at the very least that he wants to take something for himself. Here, according to Rav Sheshes, he has no intention of taking anything from the Yayin, from the chavis, for himself. So why is he considered a Shalech Yad B'Pikadon? How does he make this transition from a state of being a Shomer, who's Potter for Onsim, to being Chayiv Ba'Onsim? And the answer is, Kasavar, the Tan of HaMishnah, is of the opinion that Shoel Shalomidas Gazlan Havi, that if a person is a Shoel, meaning he borrows something, he had the explicit permission of the owner to use it, he's a Shoel. But that same Shoel, if he didn't have permission to use it, he becomes a Gazlan. And this is a sugya in Baba Basra on Daf Peches, that the Chachovim Shita is that Shol Shalomidas is a Gazlan. Rav Yehuda Shita is that he has the din of a Shol, he doesn't have the din of a Gazlan. And a Shol Shalomidas, the Gemara establishes, is a Shoel. Why does he have the status of a Shoel according to Rav Yehuda? Because it's Kol Hana Shalom. Right, a shoal means that he's allowed to benefit from the object. And here, he decided to benefit from the object. And he becomes like the bailin, almost like the owner of the object. And just like a shoal who has this bailus because he's allowed to enjoy the object and use it with whichever way he wants to, and he's chayv therefore for onsim like a bailin, so too a shoal shalomidas is a shoal who has all the hanos, and therefore he is chayev for onsin. Again, it's a little bit strange to apply the yardstick of kol hano shalo to the case of a shol shalo shalomidas, because it's still in the house of the shoel, and the bailam is getting some benefit from the fact that it's in the house of the shoel and it's being protected there. And in an event that it gets destroyed, even by onus, the shoel is going to pay him for that. That's a certain hano that the Bailam get. Why is that called Kol Hana Shalo? In any event, Rav Sheshes feels compelled to interpret the Mishnah according to the Shita of the Chachamim in Bava Kama, that Shol Shalomidas is a Gazlan. Why is he compelled to do so? I mean, L'chora, he could have interpreted it, even if Shol Shalomidas is not a Gazlan, but he is a Shoel, and he's Chayv Ronsim is a Shoel. And the Ritva says that if we introduce here the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that Shol Shalomidas is a Shoel, then certainly the Hanocha, which is a Hachzor L'Mkomo, would constitute a Hashova, even Shalomidas Bailim, because Lo Kolsa Shmirasa, he still has the status of a Shomer. A Shoel is also a Shomer. He's not a Gazlan to be Chai for Onsim, even after Hachzor L'Mkomo. That's the interpretation of the Ritva. The Shita Mekubetzis has a different interpretation. He says that in the case of Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov hesitated to accept the Ukimta of Rav Sheshes because he, Rabbi Yaakov, was of the opinion that Shol Shalomidas is a Shoel, which means that the Hashava Shalomidas Bailam would constitute Hashava. Why does he remain Chayav if he moves the chavis in order to stand on it and get height from it, as Rav Sheshes would have it? Rav Yaakov asks himself the question, well, if that's the case, then his din is that of a shoel, like Rav Yehuda and Bava Kama, and therefore the hanocha should qualify as a shova. But Rav Sheshes, according to the Shita Mekubetzis, is maintaining that our Mishnah reflects the Shita of the Chachamim, that Shol Shalomidas is a gazlan, and therefore a shova is going to require das bailam. Now, after the Gemara has presented all these three shitos of how to interpret our Mishnah, now the Gemara swings back to answer of Yochanan's question that this Mishnah can in fact reflect one integral Shita. Kula Rabbi Shmuel, the entire Mishnah, whether it's the Sefer or the Reisha, reflects the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel. The Sefer, Sheinicha b'makom she'ena makoma. In other words, now we're going to begin to see the difference between the Reish of Lo Yichdol Makom and the Seif of Yichdol Makom. The Reisha, since the Bailam did not designate, single out any particular place, then anywhere where it's placed, that could be Ashava. And according to Rabbi Shmuel, you don't need Das Bailam. But the Seifa, where it also says the word Hinicha, we assume that Hinicha in the Seifa is the same as Hinicha in the Reisha, which means that we're talking about a hashava to a place which qualifies as a makom hashava. No, it's dafka because the bailim or miyachid makom in the Sefer the Hanocha was b'makom she'ena makoma. It's not a hashava, even though you don't need das bailim according to Rabbi Shmuel, but you need a hashava l'mkoma. And since this was a makom she'ena makoma, because if the left corner was designated as the makom for this object, the shomer put it down in the right corner. Not in the left corner, but in the right corner. And therefore, that's not considered a hashava. So, whether we're talking in the framework of Rabbi Yaakov, or of Nosson, or of Sheshes, they interpreted the Mishnah that the difference between Yichto Makom and Lo Yichto Makom is that in the Sefer of Yichto Lo Makom there was no Hashava L'Mekoma. And therefore, based on their interpretation, their respective interpretations of our Mishnah, our question, or Rabbi Yochanan's question, is now answered. Namely, that if you hold that Shlichas Yad Tzricha Chisaron, or if you hold Shol Shol Midas Havi Gazlan Havi, whatever it might be, he's chai for Otsim, and until he does Hashava in the Sefer, he didn't do a Hashava. Now again, we understood from Rabbi Yochanan that it's impossible to interpret our Mishnah consistently reflecting one particular Tana, but rather the Reisha reflects the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel and the Sefer that of Rabbi Kiva. So the Gemara asks Rabbi Yochanan, why didn't he accept one of the various ukimtas or interpretations of our Mishnah of the three Amoraim, in which case the Mishnah could reflect one Shita? And the Gemara answers, Hinicha b'mkoma mashma. The word Hinicha in the Seifa is the same, reflects the same Hanocha as the Hinicha in the Reisha. Just like in the case of Lo Yichin Lo Mokum, any place in the house is called a Hanocha and Hashava, so too Hinicha in the Seifa is talking about a Hinicha v'Hashava, that qualifies Hashava, it means Bimkoma. And he refuses to interpret the Mishnah that in the Seifa we're talking about a Hanocha Shelo Bimkoma, as the other Amoraim had interpreted it. Now it's interesting that this sugya appears in Masechet Shabbos on Daf Pei Vav, and there Rashi explains that Rabbi Yochanan preferred to interpret the Mishnah in a different way, meaning that it was Hachzor L'Mekoma, and that the Reish and the Sefer reflect two different shittas of two different Tanoim, because that has one advantage over one single Tana. Because in one single Tana, you're forced to say that there are two different hachzoras, it's two different ofanim, two different situations. There's a hechzirulim koma in the Reisha, and hechzirushalobim koma in the Sefer. He'd rather take the dochak of interpreting the Reisha according to one sheet in Tanoim, that's Rabbi Shmuel, and the Sefer according to a different sheet, Rabbi Kiva, than to say that there are two different hanochos. But now that we've mentioned the issue about chisoron, the definition of shlichus yad, does shlichus yad have an additional condition that there's got to be chisaron? The Gemara now presents the machlokis in its original form on this issue. Itmar, Rav Levi, we don't know who holds what. Chad Omar shlichus yad tzricha chisaron, v'chad Omar shlichus yad ena tzricha chisaron. And the Gemara is now going to try to establish which of these two tanoim was of the opinion that shlichus yad does not require chisaron. Tistayim, I'll bring you a proof. The Rav who diyomer shlichus yad ein etzricha chisaron, which would mean by proselytization that Levi is of the opinion that there is a condition in shlichus yad of chisaron. Tisanya, we learned to the brisa roa shahay roa edro v'niach edro ubal ir. The roa left the flock and he went to the city. Uba ze'ev v'taraf, ba'ari v'daras. And as a result of the roel leaving, he checked out, he went into the city, he wasn't there to supervise, a wolf came and ripped apart one of the sheep, or a lion came and pounced upon one of the sheep. Potter. Nevertheless, he's potter. And why is that? Because a zev or an ari is considered an onus, meaning even had he been there, even had he not checked out, it would be impossible for him to put his life on the line, this is not a pshia, and fight off a zev or an aryeh. So it means that leaving is not considered a pshia, because the Gemara is going to interpret that, you know, there are periods of time where the roa takes a little bit of a break, or alternatively, he heard the sounds of the ari, and therefore he couldn't face up to this lion. He doesn't have to put his life into danger as a shomer. But now the sefer of this price is going to tell us about a scenario in which the roa is chayev. And what's that? Hiniach maklo v'tarmilo oleha. If he uses the animal for his own purposes, it's a strange kind of case, but he puts something of his own objects, the roa's own personal objects, on top of the animal, using the animal, so to speak, as a platform. And then the zev comes, or the ari comes, chayev, because the roa now has the din of a shalech yad pikadon, who's chayev for onsen. And the reason for that is because he's using the animal litzarko for his own purposes. It's like the case we saw earlier from Sheshis, where he stands on the chavis as if the chavis were a ladder to get to a higher place. Vavinin ba. And the Amoroim are going to wonder about this sefer of the Braisa, Mishum Dehiniach Maklo V'Tamil Lechayev. How can it be that just because he puts his stick or his knapsack on top of the lamb, therefore he should be chayev? Hoshaklinu, didn't he take back his object before the trefa happened, before the animal attacked and killed the lamb? So even if we would assume that Hanochas Amakel, that putting his kelim, his utensils on top of the animal, does qualify and constitute shlichus yad v'pikadon, which again, that's going to depend on this machlokas Rav and Levi. But nevertheless, once he removes the object, the makel, his utensils from the back of the animal, that's considered a hashova, and that would terminate the status of the shomer as a shalech yad v'pikadon, and therefore he should be again potter from onsen. Now, this question that's being raised by the Amoraim is predicated on the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel, that you don't need das bainlam bashova. That's what Tosfos Divei Maskil Shaklinu points out over here. Hoshaklinu, you see it's the fifth Tosfos on the page. Rashi says that the Gemara is now assuming that Rabbi Shmuel, since we've interpreted our Mishnah like Rabbi Shmuel, the price is also going according to Rabbi Shmuel. The Ramban says that we paskin l'aloch l'Rabbi Akiva, and that you do need hashava midas bailin, and therefore we're compelled to interpret this price according to Rabbi Akiva. And you have to see how to work that out, because the Gemara is assuming here that hashava even shalom midas bailin is it qualifies as hashava. Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rav Barav, Omer Rav, be odon oleha. We're going to have to interpret the sefer in this brayso as a case where the makel, the tarmil, is still on the animal's back. so that the status of Shlichus Yad Pikon without a Hashava is still current at the moment of the Trefa. The Gemara says, V'chi Odan Alemai Havi Holo Mashcha. There's another precondition that we didn't discuss yet in Shlichus Yad, that you require a Maisa Kinyan. And that's a sugya later on, Adaf Mem Gimel Amid Beis, that Shalech Yad has to make a kinyan on the Chafetz in order to be Chayv and Onsim, because he's Chayv and Torah's Bailim. And that only takes place when there's a Meshicha, when the Shalech Yad because makes a Maisa Kinyan, a Meshicha Akbah on the object. Here there was no Meshicha, there was no Akbah. So even if I grant you that it's Odon Alel, that he's still, at the time of the attack of the animal, the Makel, the Tarmel, was on top, resting on the back of the animal. Nevertheless, there was no Mashicha. So the Gemara answers, Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Omar Rav, Shehi Kisha B'Makel. It wasn't that he just put his stick on the back of the animal, or he laid his knapsack on the back of the animal, but rather he used that object to give a smack to the animal, which causes the animal to move. Our definition of Mashicha is any action which causes the object that you want to be Moshech to move. That's called Pa'ula Goremes Lebehema Lanua. Any Pa'ula that causes the animal to move is itself qualifies as Mashicha. V'ratzal, the fun of the animal started running. So that's called Hikisha B'Makel. It's a Mashicha. And he makes a kinyan of Sholech Yad Vikodin, and he's chayev for Onsim. And that's the way we're going to interpret the Sefer, that Sholech Yad Vikodin, and he hasn't yet done a Hashava, and he already implemented a Mashicha and a kinyan, he's chayev for Onsim, and therefore he has to pay for the animal getting destroyed and getting killed by the predator. So the Gemara asks, V'holo Chasra, I mean, this is all Rav, but if Shlichus Yad Bikon requires a chisara, meaning that the Shomer takes away something for himself, otherwise, if that condition hasn't been met, he doesn't qualify as a Shalech Yad Bikadon, then why is he chai for Onsim? Elav Shmamino, should we not therefore derive or prove from this interpretation of Rav, of the Braisa, so that Rav himself holds that Shlichus Yad Eina Tzricha Chisara? Again, you could possibly suggest, and that's what Rashi deals with, Dibra Maskel V'ha, that the reason why Rav says he's chayev in the Sefer of this price is because, not Sholech Yad Bikon, but because of Shol Shalom Yidas. And the answer, says Rashi, is that Shol Shalom Yidas applies only in objects, inanimate objects, but not to Balei Chayim. And that's something that has to be analyzed. Other Rishonim give a different teretz, that Shoel is only when he has Kavana to take the object out of the Rishus of the Bailin. In other words, he wants to use it Shalom Yidas Bailin. Like, for example, in our Mishnah, where he wants to take the Chavis and he wants to step on it and climb on it to bring Gozlos. But in the case of the Roeh, that he has no intention, Lo Tziasa, as Hashib, you know, he doesn't want to take the sheep out of the Rishus of the Bailim completely, right? And he's continuing to shepherd the animal within the Eder, within the flock, as the Bailim would want him to do. That's not called Shoel Shalom Yidas. And therefore Rav assumes that the Yisod, the underlying Machayev here in the Sefer of the Braisa, is certainly Sholech Yad Pikad, despite the fact that there was no Chisaron. So the Gemara says, no, that Rav was misquoted here, so to speak. We don't have the right girsa in the statement of Rav. Ema, what we should understand, is not that Rav spoke about Hikisha B'Makel, but rather Hikisha B'Makel. I mean, the only difference is Yed the Ches. And when it becomes a Chisha B'Makel, what it means is there's a Hakosha to the animal. He hit the animal so hard that the animal was damaged as a result. He took away something from the animal. And that's called a Hakosha Shel Hakosha. The katani, again, the word the katani is a little strange. Usually that's referring to a Mishnah. Here the word the katani is referring to Rav, who's not a Tana. He kisha bimakel. So let's read the last line. Deka anami, I'll be medaik to you that it's a case of hikisha, the katani, because Rav said he kisha bimakel. Now, he could have just said he kisha, and that would have indicated that he gave a smack to the animal with his makel, and the animal moved. But the word the phrase hikisha bimakel as opposed to hikisha indicates that he gave a very strong clap over the animal, and as a result it was akosha bimakel. Shmamino, therefore we derive the opposite conclusion that Rav holds that shlichus yab because nizach hisaron, because he interpreted the brisa as a case of hakosha bimakel, which means that there was a chisaron. Umi the Rav Sovar shlichus yad tzrich chisaron, Levi sovar shlichus yad ein tzrich chisaron. By cross-validation, it's Levi who holds that shlichus yad is chayev without a chisaron. My taima de Levi. It's interesting, the Gemara never asked the question, my taima de Rav, meaning the Gemara initially or intuitively felt that the chiddush here that requires a proof, the burden of proof is on the Mandi Omer, who says you don't need chisaron. You want to be machmir and say that the shalech yad is chayv for onsim even without a chisaron. What's the basis for that? What's the alfusa? Now, just by way of introduction to the next presentation of the Gemara to explain why or how Levi derives the conclusion that a shalech yad is chayv even without chisaron, let's just say the following. In two parshios, the Torah spells out the din and the chiyuv of shalech yad pikadon, in the parsh of shomer chinam and in the parsh of shomer sochar. And the question is, why was that necessary? Now, when the Torah repeats something, when it's not necessary, it's coming as a ribui to expand that din. And Levi is going to assume, as we'll soon see, that the fact that the Torah felt compelled to repeat Shlichus Yad V'Pikadon not only in the parish of Shomer Socher, but even in the parish of Shomer Chinam, or shall we say it the other way around, not only in the parish of Shomer Chinam, but even in the parish of Shomer Socher, that seems totally superfluous, because if you're telling me about a chiyuv in Shomer Chinam, then how much more so in the case of Shomer Soch? Shomer Soch is always a higher level and a higher standard of shmir that he has to supply. So certainly he's going to be chayv for Shlichus Yad. In any event, it's going to come out that there's a superfluous parsha of Shlichus Yad in Shomer Socher, and that becomes a ribui. And that ribui is going to tell me this din, that we expand the scope of Shalech Yad and his chiyuv onsim, even to the case of Ein bo chisaron, of ein atzricha chisaron. And once you have that in Shomer Socher, you're going to ipso facto apply it to the Shlichus Yad of Shomer Chino. The other approach is going to be that no, the Torah had to tell me Shlichus Yad Pikadon even in the case of Shomer Socher, and the Kal V'chomer is not a valid, viable Kal V'chomer. All this will make a little bit more sense as we go along. Omer Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yossi ben Nahoroi. Mishuna means superfluous. Mishuna shlichus yad hamura b'shomer sachar, mishlichus yad hamura b'shomer chino. The parsha of shlichus yad and shomer sachar is completely superfluous. It's mishuna. I don't need it. It's a repetition. Why? Because take a look at shlichus yad in shomer chino. If shomer chino is chayav for shlichus yad, and that's a gewaldige chiddush, and he's chayav for onsim, which obviously that's a radical chiddush, that shomer chinam is the furthest away from onsim. So the Torah certainly had to be mechadish shlichus yad in the case of the chiyuv shlichus yad in the case of shomer chinam, and at this point we would assume, as we said before intuitively, that that's because of a chisaron that he took away from the object, the pikadon. Is then we should be able to derive from Shomer Chinam that a Shomer Socher for sure is chayav for Shlichus Yad the Pikadon. So why did the Torah have to spell out Shlichus Yad V'Bikar in the case of a Shomer Sachar and tell me that a Shomer Sachar is Chayav for Onsim as a result of Shlichus Yad? I mean, the gap or the bridge to Onsim in the case of Shomer Sachar is a very small bridge. It's just one little notch. And here we want to turn to Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis. And the Gemara says, Va'ani Omer, but I myself, Rav Yochanan, says, Eina Meshuna, that we need Shlichus Yad in the case of Shomer Sach. We cannot derive Shomer Sach from Shomer Chinam with a logical derivation, a logical Kal V'Chomer. And now the Gemara explains first Rav Yossi ben Nohoroi and then Rav Yochanan. Umay Meshuna, why does Rabbi Yossi insist that the parsha of Shlichus Yad and Shomer Sachar is superfluous, from which we're going to derive a ribui that Shalech Yad Bikar is Chayev even without Chisaron? Shalot Tomar, the Torah didn't have to tell me Shlichus Yad and Shomer Sachar, V'teise Mishomer Chinam. I would have derived with a logical Kal V'Chomer Shlichus Yad in Shomer Sachar from Shlichus Yad and Shomer Chinam. Shomer Chinam Shepotu Mignei V'Aveda. Shomer Chinam is only chayav for pshia, but he's part of the gnei v'aveda. Again, if there was no shlichus yad, is sholach by yad chayav. But if he was sholach yad, he's going to be chayav for own sin. Is shomer socher shechayav gnei v'aveda, who has more chiyuvim than a shomer chinam? Shomer socher is chayav not only for pshia, but also for gnei v'aveda. Again, if there was no shlichus yad, because is lo kolshkin, how much more so is he going to be chayav for own sin? But if he's sholach by yad. Is Lamai Hilchas Kasvina Rachmana? Why did the Torah bother to repeat the parsha of Shalech Yad Bikadon in Shomer Sachar? It's superfluous. It could be derived from a Kal V'Chomer for Shomer Chinam. Lomelecha Shlichus Yad Eina Tzricha Chisaron. In other words, there's a new din that was established in the parsha of Shomer Sachar through this ribui of. Eina tzricha chisara. And once we define shlichus yad pikadon as eina tzricha chisara, that's a definition of shlich yad v'pikadon. And that applies to shomer chinam as well, because the din of shomer of shalech yad v'pikadon, the definition, the requirements thereof, are equal in both shomer chinam and shomer sachar. That's what Tosis points out here, the Ramaska Lomar. That once the Torah revealed in the parasha of Shomer Sachar that Shlichus Yad doesn't need Chisaron, the same din applies to a Shomer Chinam. Vani Omer, but Rabbi Yochanan rejects this Kal V'Chomer. In Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, the Torah had to go ahead and spell out Shlichus Yad Pikad in the parasha of Shomer Sachar. Eina Meshun, it's not superfluous. Ki Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Yochanan accepts the sheet of Rabbi Elazar. The Omer David Achasi, meaning both these psukim are required, are necessary. We need both of them to the same extent. Neither one of these two Shalech Yad Pikadons are superfluous, or neither one of them is superfluous. My, what was the logic of Rabbi Elazar? What did he mean when he said David Achas? L'chora, the second pasuk of Shomer Sachar is not required. It's completely superfluous. Mishum de'ikol mifrach, because he, Rabbi Elazar, had a pircha on the Kal V'Chomer. Ma'al Shomer Chinam, shekein mishalim tashlum mikefu b'toin tanis ganov. There's a chumra in Shomer Chinam that doesn't apply to Shomer Sachar, because there's a parasha called toin tanis ganov pikadon, which means that a shomer put forward a claim of nignav, that the object was stolen, and he took a shvuah to that effect, and as a result he becomes potur. In such a case, if we find out that he was lying and he perjured himself under oath, then he himself becomes, through this shvuah, a ganav, in which case he's chayv kefel. A shomer sach, on the other hand, would never be chayv kefel, because of toi tainis ganav, because through the toi tainis ganav, he is chayef. That's an admission of chiyuv. He pays the keren to the bialim. It's not a tainis p'tur. In the case of Shomer Chinam, tainis ganav is a tainis p'tur. And if he bolsters and supports that taina with a shvua, he becomes a ganav. And he pays kefil. That's a chumra that's unique to Shomer Chinam and does not apply to a Shomer Sachar. In the case of a Shomer Sachar, when he says Nignav, that Tainus Gneva generates a Chiyuv, it's a Hodah of a Chiyuv, it's not a Tainus Ptur, and therefore he's not Chayev as a Ganav for Kefa. Therefore, says Rabbi Lazar, the fact that the Torah gave me the parasha of Shalech Yad B'Kod Nechiyuv Onsim in the parasha of Shomer Chinam, that doesn't tell me a thing about Shomer Sachar. The Torah has to spell it out, the parasha and the din of Shlichus Yad in the case of Shomer Sachar, because Shomer Chinam, paradoxically, is more chomer than Shomer Sachar. Because the Shomer Chinam might be a ganav through his taina, and through taina with the shvua, and he's chayev kefel. Whereas in the case of Shomer Sachar, there is no chiyuv kefel as a toin tainus ganav b'pikod. Therefore, if the Torah had not added the pasuk, the verse about Sholech Yad Pikod and Shomer Sachar, I would not know that a Shomer Sachar has the chiyuv of Sholech Yad B'Pikod, which generates a chiyuv onsim. And if there's no extra parsha, then I don't have the ribui and the drasha of Eina Tzricha Chisaron. Therefore, we go back to Rabbi Yochanan, who says Tzricha Chisaron. Umandalo Parach, what about Rabbi Yossi Ben Noroi? He didn't accept his pircha. Sovar Karna below Shvua Adifa Mikvela B'Shvua. That Adarava, this halacha, that the Shomer Sachar is not chayav as a ganav for kefel and toin tainus ganav, that's not a kula, that's really a chumra. The reason the yisod that engenders the undermining of toin tainus ganav in Shomer Sachar is not because Shomer Sachar is a higher level of chiyuv. He's got a chumra. He's going to be chayav to pay when he's toin tainus ganav. So the din of a Shomer Sachar when he's toin tainus ganav, and he's immediately chayav through his own admission, that's a chumra of Shomer Sachar over Shomer Chinam. And even though, with regard to Shomer Chinam, that kula, that toin tainus ganav is potur, because Shomer Chinam is potur gneiva, will ultimately lead to a chumra of kefel, but nevertheless, that's a chumra that comes through a kula. And a chumra that comes through a kula is not a chumra. And it doesn't undermine this kal v'chomer. It's not that Shomer Chinam has a chumra. The chumra of Achiv Kefel in Shomer Chinam is because of the kula that through his tainus ganav he's potter. That's not called a chumra, that's called a kula. And therefore, according in the light of Rabbi Lazar, there's no kal v'chomer. I'm sorry. In the light of Rabbi Lazar, we still have a kal v'chomer. We don't have a pircha. You cannot tell me that there's a chumra in Shomer Chinam that doesn't exist in Shomer Sachar, because that chumra is really a kula, in essence. And as a result of that, we have an extra parasha of Sholech Yad Bikodin in Shomer Sachar, because it could have been derived from Shomer Chinam, and that extra parasha is going to teach me that Shlichus Yad Eina Tzricha Chisaron. The Gemara now wants to elucidate, wants to clarify that it's possible to explain the logic of Levi, that Shlichus Yad Eina Tzricha Chisaron, even according to Rabbi Lazar, who holds that this kal v'chomer has a pircha to it. Rava Omar lo tomar Shlichus Yad lo b'shomer chinam lo b'shomer sachar. Levi's logic is that there are two parshios that are in effect superfluous. We could derive Shlichus Yad both in Shomer Chinam and in Shomer Sachar, even had they not been written explicitly, from Shoel, the Tesi Mishoel. Shoel is Chayv Ba'onsim, and the reason for that is because Kol Hanos Shalo, he gets all the benefits. Therefore, Shalech Yad also is Kol Hanos Shalo. He's enjoying the object as if it was his. And that creates a bilus similar to that of a shoel, and he's chayv onsim. Uma shoel doladas bilim ka'ovid. In the case of shoel, he's allowed to enjoy these hanos. That's the reason why the mashil gave him this object and lent it to him. And nevertheless, sholach bayad chayev, he's chayv for shlichus yad v'pikadon. and he's chayav for onsim, is shomer chino v'shomer sacha lo kolshke. How much more so in the cases of these two shomerim, which the Bailam never gave them rishus to enjoy the benefit of the pikadon. How much more so the baby chayav through shlichus yad pikadon, the loman nemar. So then why did the Torah have to spell out shlichus yad in the cases of shomer chino v'shomer sacha? We now have two psukim that are completely superfluous. Chado, one pasuk, the first pasuk in Shomer Chinam Lo Melacha, Sheshlichus Yad Ein Tzricha Chisaron. That's where Levi derives his conclusion that Shlichus Yad is chayv even without a chisaron. He didn't take away anything from the object. V'iduch in the second pasuk, Shelo Tomar Dayo Levom and Adin Lios Kidna Nidon. Oh, okay. So let's take a minute here to introduce, to clarify this Gemara. When you derive a kal from a chomer, then all the limitations and the restrictions of the chomer apply willy-nilly to the kal. And the restriction of shlichus yad v'pikadon with regard to a shomer, with regard to a shoel, is that it's ein bail of imo. But if it's bail of imo, which we'll explain, then the shoel is potter. So what's the case of bail of imo? Let's say that Reuven asks Shimon to employ Shimon to do a malach on his behalf. And at that time period, during that period of time when Shimon is working on behalf of Reuven borrows a kli from Shimon. And in such a case, Reuven is potter for onsim. Why? Because it's bail of imo. The owner of the kli, the mashil, is imo b'malacha. He's working on behalf of the shoel. So that if the mashil is in the employment of the shoel, at the moment of the onus, the shoel is potter. And that's a limitation in the chiyuvim of a shoel. That's a separate p'tur in the parish of shoel. Now, if we're going to derive the chiyuv of sholech yad pikad in the cases of shomer chinam and shomer sacha, we're going to have to take that chiyuv with its limitations. That's called ta'ilif amen adin liyos kinonin. Mashal b'bailim patur. That if it was the case where the owner of the chayfetz was working, the mashal was working for the shoel at the time of the sheila, then the shoel is potter for onsim. That's based on an explicit pasuk in Mishpatim. It says, "Im ba'ol of imo lo yishalem." If so too, I'm going to derive the conclusion that in the cases of shomer chinam and shomer sachar, is bebail of imo is potter. So the Torah had to reiterate and spell out the parsha and the chiyuv of shlichus yad pikadon in the case of shomer sachar to teach us that the shomer sacher is chayev for shlichus yad pikadon, even if it's a case of bail of imo, and that limitation that comes through the kal v'chomer of shoel does not apply. The Gemara says, "Uleman diomer shlichus yad tzricha chisaron hani tarte shlichus yad lomali." According to the sheet of Rav back on Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, that shlichus yad needs a chisaron, and we thought that was intuitively logical. Fine, but why do we need the two psukim of shlichus yad pikadon in both parashiyos of shomer chinam and shomer sachar? They seem to be superfluous because we could have derived shlichus yad pikadon from shoel, as we saw in Rava's presentation. And the Gemara answers, Chado, I need one pasuk, shelo tomar, dayu levom en adin, lios kin nidon. I need one pasuk to tell me that we're not going to apply the principle of dayo levom and adin lios kinnidon and a sholeach yad b'pikadon in the cases of shomer chinam, shomer sacha, would not be chayv if it's baila of imo, but rather the chiddush is that sholeach yad pikadon, shomer chinam, shomer sacha is chayv even in the case of baila of imo. Ve'idach, and I need a second pasuk, l'chidisanya, to derive a din which we find in a brisa. And that Bryce is trying to clarify the meaning of a pasuk in the parish of Shomer Chinam, in a case where he was towing Tainas Ganav B'Pikadon. and the Edom testify that the Shomachinim himself stole the object. And there it says, V'nikrav balabayis el ha'elohim. And we don't know what that means. And the Braisa wants to say, L'shvua, that when is the Shomer Chinam chayav for chayav kefel for toin tainis gan pikon? It's only if it was v'nikra bal bais Elohim. Elohim means the dayanim, the judges, and he took a shvua. Once he took a shvua to support his tainis ganav, then he becomes chayav as a ganav for kefel. And this is derived from the meaning, from the simple meaning of the pasuk ukvar. In other words, what we're interpreting the pasuk to mean, kvar nikra bal bayis, meaning the shomer l'shvua, and therefore yishalim shnayim l'reyehu, as it says in the pasuk. The Bryce explains, ata omer l'shvua o eino el ledin. How do you know that v'nikrav is referring to a shvua? Maybe it means v'nikrav, he came to the bezdin with his taina, and a shomer chinam who's toin tainis ganav, and it turns out, as Edom testified, that he stole it himself, he's chayav tashlum and kefal, even without a shvua. And the Gemara says, it's impossible to say that. Why? The Bryce establishes. Nemra shlichus yad lemata. The shlichus yad din is formulated by the Torah in Shomer Sachar. V'nemra shlichus yad lemala, and we find shlichus yad in the parasha of Shomer Chinam, Mala Halin Lishvua, Afkan Lishvua. In the parasha of Shomer Sachar, it says explicitly, Shvuas Hashem Tia Ben Shneim Im Lo Shalach Yoda. So there the Torah requires a Shvua, and the Torah is explicit. Afkan here too in Shomer Chinam, where it says, V'nikra Balabais Elokim Im Lo Shalach Yoda Melechus Me'ehu. What is the meaning of that pasuk? L'shvua. So that's why we need the pasuk of Shlichus Yad, both in Shomer Chinam and in Shomer Sachar, to establish this kind of, we'll call it a Gzeir Shava, that a Shomer Chinam is Chayev Kefel as a Ganov, if he himself, in quotation marks, stole the object by taking a shvua that it was stolen when he himself has the object, and therefore he's chayav for kefel. But that's only in the case where he took a shvua to support his taina, and that we derive from the parsha of Shlichus Yad in Shomer Socher. So I need one parsha of Shlichus Yad in Shomer Chinam, and that's going to teach me that that the Shalech Yad bepikadon is chayav even if bailov imo, and we don't apply the principle of dayo. We have another parasha of Shlichus Yad, which is necessary to establish the gzeir shav of shvua shvua, to teach me that a shomachinu who is toin tadis ganav pikod is chayav kefel if and only if he supported his tainis ganav with a shvua. And that produces the sheet of Rav, that Shlichus Yad Tzricha Chisoron, because we don't have a drasha and any superfluous parsha of Shlichus Yad from which we would expand the scope of Shlichus Yad to include even a case where there was no Chisoron. We'll stop here.